I'm still going to get into
My ritual is to sit my butt in the chair and just start typing.
That's smart.
I think that even if I only write 100 words, it's something is better than nothing. And taking those little snippets of time that I have. But I think I would say overall, my ritual is to make sure I'm writing something every week. I don't like to let weeks go by and not put my fingers on the keyboard and write something.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, do you
It's
know
hard.
when you go to write, do you have your outline kind of already built and your things and then you're picking your scenes and writing your scenes, or do you have a
They
does
call it
it
pantsing.
yeah, it does or does
You go
the
by the seat of your
or
pants.
does the story evolve for you as you're writing it?
So I kind of do a combo. I used to be a straight out pantser, and I think that's why that one novel is in a drawer and no one will ever read it. So I do write, like I'm starting a new book because I'm waiting for edits of my latest novel. I sent it off to an editor, and because I had ants in my pants, I decided to start something new. So I did sit down and write just kind of, more like a synopsis, what that would look like if I were to send that to an agent. So I have the bones, and then I guess I pants in between those bones. So that's sort of my writing style. And
I
then
love
if
it.
something takes its own direction, I let it. I see where that goes.
Well, I loved this setting of Ecuador. Like, I felt like it was so you. I wanted to travel, actually. Like, when I set the book down, I'm like, I've got to go somewhere. I loved it. Like, you described that thin air, the parasites that she dealt with, like all of these different things. I was like, wow, that just felt so real to me. And you did pull this from your own experience, right? So how much of that was things you had experienced, or how much of it was
So
like research?
I did spend a year and then subsequently 2 summers in Ecuador. I was much younger, so I did a traditional gap year, 18, 19. I was accepted to college my senior year of high school and deferred, so I didn't have to worry about getting A's while I was in learning a new language and in another country. And so some of those experiences are mine in that for me, because I grew up at sea level, that was so hard for me to acclimate to the altitude, and just walking down the street. And I've always been an athlete, so it was particularly difficult to not even be able to just walk a block without being winded.
That had to feel so different for you.
Oh, it was. Yeah, but that was. My parents were great and they encouraged that because, they said if you just go from, I grew up in Newport Beach, California. So they said if you go from here to the insular community that is your college, you're never going to experience anything real. So they were very encouraging of all of us to do this type of thing. I have 3 siblings. So anyhow, also the parasites were a way of life. For me and a lot of other exchange students, we basically would joke with each other, like, is it your week on or your week off?
Oh, wonderful.
It was just, because you're living there. So when you're a tourist, you can get away with, oh, I'll use the bottled water. So that, Jane doesn't use the bottled water. She lets some tap water. I was using the tap water to brush my teeth because I would get lazy. Like, I just didn't want to deal with getting the bottle of water. And so I was constantly getting parasites. And I know it was kind of gross what I wrote happened to her, but that really happened to me.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Well, it made it feel real.
Well, I have
Yes.
to say, Lindsay, your book really resonated with me on a personal level, having just recently gone through something fairly identical to this. In fact, I was listening to your book, I'm driving to Utah with my son. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just really engrossed in the book. And my son reaches over and touches my arm, my leg. And he's like, Mom, are you okay? Is everything okay? I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, well, I'm fine. I'm like, oh, because this sounds a lot like my life.
Well, I'm sorry
But
that that you know,
yeah,
well.
so I'm just interested. I mean, I just felt like you really
Got it.
captured that feeling feeling of what Jane goes through at mm-hmm. that moment. You know, the finding out your husband is leaving you, having an affair, your child leaving, you know, it's, you really captured it. And I am interested how you, what inspired you and how you nailed that feeling.
Oh, thank you. Well, my oldest is 15, so she hasn't yet left home, but I think what started just getting myself into that headspace was my oldest sister. She has one child and she was kind of approaching that age where she would leave. And I think I've always been close with my sister. So I think I started just imagining what she might be feeling and translating in that into how I might feel when my daughter goes off to college. And although I do joke with her that she'll just go to UCI and come home and do her laundry. But she says, no, I will not do that. So I think that it was more just putting myself into someone else's shoes, mm-hmm. but then knowing that those shoes aren't too far away from me. I mean, I have 3 years until I'll go through that. So you can just start to imagine what that would be like. Yeah. And my daughter did last summer, she went away for a month. And so I realized as I was kind of editing Gap Year, like, okay, I'm already starting to feel some of these things. So I think they're accurate. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the marriage aspect failing, I think more, so I'm still married to my husband. I did have a starter marriage when I was 29, but that only lasted 11 months. There were no kids. So I guess I've been through a divorce, but not with all of the elements involved here. But I have had a lot of friends, I'm sure you probably do as well, who mm-hmm. you just mm-hmm. get to a certain point in your life. And I think in particular, when the kids leave the home, I remember when my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And it just so happened that my siblings and I, for one reason or another, somebody was sick or this, that, or the other, but it was just my siblings and I taking my parents to dinner. And we hadn't been just alone with them and I don't know how many years. There'd always been other, you know, somebody's kids or somebody's spouse. And I remember asking my parents, like, what is the secret here? Because now they've been married well over 60 years. And my mom said, it's because you kids left. You know, she said, we really got so much closer when you kids left because it was just the two of us now. And like, they still sit down and eat dinner together every night and talk, which I find mind boggling. They actually talk to each other and have a lot in common. And so what I have seen is it can go one of two ways. Like my parents said, your kids leave and you become much closer, or you realize that there's this chasm between the two of you because all you had in common were your kids. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's too far off what happened to Jane.
No. And I think that I love that Jane was really amping herself up to have a closer relationship with her husband. You know, she was like, okay, this is our time. We're gonna go travel together. And you know, it is a heartbreaking thing that was the opposite of what her husband was feeling.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but I had to put her in a position where she was willing to leave.
Yeah. But I don't think that that's far off from a lot of people's experiences. And that's why I think it resonated so
absolutely
deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I loved, did you want to ask?
Oh, no, go ahead. No.
Okay. So Jane and Laura, there was a somewhat of a generational age gap, but not crazy, crazy huge. I felt like Laura was put in Jane's life to help her get through this really, really hard time. I mm-hmm. thought that without that character in the book in particular, Jane's experience would not have been the same at all. So tell me a little bit, like, how that cross-generational friendship, like, how you put that in there for a reason. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think I put it in there because, you know, Jane, one of the other things she's going through is not only enabling Liza to find her independence as a young adult, but finding her own independence as a parent who has an adult child. And so I wanted to make Laura a little bit younger because it's not that she's a surrogate child, because she imparts so much knowledge to Jane, but in a way it gives her a chance to sort of mother somebody. And mm-hmm. I don't want to, again, say get over the fact that she's, you know, in this different stage of life, but I just wanted that dynamic of mother, but also the mentor relationship back from Laura, you know, that they can learn from each other. Because ultimately, I mean, you guys read the book, she's learning from her daughter as well. Mm-hmm. But I think having this relationship with Laura enabled her to shift her relationship with her daughter.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that one of the things that was neat and I have questions about is, you know, you set Jane up as this character who's very structured, who solves every problem for everybody mm-hmm. and spends more time kind of focusing on other people's problems and what other people need instead of having the introspection for herself. Mm-hmm. And I mean, then you have this character come up with a whimsical goal to climb this, you know, climb this volcano, which, yes. you know, just to kind of reclaim herself back from her childhood. And then you don't even let her succeed at it. And so, like, all of this, and I know that's kind of an end teller that, sorry about that, but you have your character kind of have all of, she has to come to terms with a lot of who she is and what she is doing. And kind of how did you think through that process for her? I think you did a great job with it. But walk us through, like, was that your intended character development from the get-go? Did you kind of, how did you process that and make that happen? Because you did a great job.
Thank you. I felt like if she had succeeded at climbing the volcano, then the book would sort of be over. I wanted that to still be, well, I wanted it to still be something that she would eventually figure out a better way to approach. But also, I saw in my head the end that I really wanted her to climb this with her daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't about a relationship with a man. It was about this relationship with herself and then with mm-hmm. her newly adult daughter who's finding her way. And so I think it was more, I knew where I wanted her to end. And, and then it was, you know, it was, I think you kind of have to have that low moment and sort of that point mm-hmm. in the novel where I'm blanking on the term, where
a catalyst for introspection. That's how I viewed it.
A catalyst.
What's that?
For introspection.
Yeah, a catalyst for introspection, because I was so frustrated with Jane, to be honest, for like the first half of the book. I was like, you're blaming everyone else in the world. You're not like taking any time to think about what you're doing. You're in this like flight pattern, which, yeah, totally normal way to react to a situation like that. We do get in those like stress, fight or flight kind of modes. And she totally was, to the point that she was just not self-aware in any way, shape or form. And I think that I thought that her failing was a huge catalyst for her to stop and think, why did this fail? Because up until that point, she hadn't done that yet. That's how I felt about it anyway. And I thought it was so well done.
I think that you're right. And I, you know, I it's funny because when you're writing, it becomes this organic process of mm-hmm. you're in this character's head and you are trying to put yourself into their shoes. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I didn't even notice I was doing this, you know, having this, but I guess I knew just instinctively that this had to happen, that she had to have this kind of growth in order, because it's women's fiction. You have to have this character start out at point A and wind up at point B. And so mm-hmm. she had to grow along the way. And so again, I think if she had climbed to the top and succeeded at that point in the novel, then the growth may have stopped there. So you're right. Catalyst mm-hmm. for introspection. I like that.
I mean, I don't think that that's very realistic either. You know, I think it's, you wrote this in such a realistic way. This is what happens with people. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time we are fail some, you know, it's not, I love the book because, you know, and maybe another romance novel, she would have ended up with a travel agent or the, you know, the guy, and she would have been successful doing this, but she had a lot of challenges and hurdles she had to jump over to get to where she's at. And that is life. That is what we all experience. And I loved going through that journey with Jane because there are some, you know, heartbreaks within the book. Not everything ends up perfect, but in the long run, she's in a better place because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And also she didn't go about, I mean, this was the first impulsive decision of her life, essentially. Mm-hmm. So if she had succeeded, that would, like you said, it wouldn't have been realistic. She didn't know what she was doing. I mean, she was getting some guidance from Laura, but, you know, I think it's more realistic that she realizes that if she's going to do this eventually, there's so many other things involved. And, you know, and I outline, she goes right back to her more rigid character towards the end where she's, you know, doing the training hikes and she's got all of her Excel spreadsheets and whatever else to figure out the right way to do this and get her to the end point, which she hasn't done.
I liked how you showed the character growth too, because, you know, when she just fleed, it was almost like she was like, I have to choose between the old me and this new me who I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is that she was all of it. And her learning how to do that kind of combined it together.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, when I say this is a reinvention story, part of it is a hearkening back to parts of you, like you said, who you were, mm-hmm. and then bringing those back into who you've grown into. Because all of those aspects are within us. And we forget that those aspects are there. So,
especially raising children, I feel like that was really well done. Like she had focused all of her energy into raising Liza, and she lost herself in that process.
And I think that is a topic that a lot of women are now talking about. I don't know mm-hmm. that mother's generation talked about the fact that women lose themselves along the way a little bit. We put so much energy into children and our needs and wants are set aside. Yeah. And so, you know, it happens. Happens to a lot.
I feel like our generation, especially, you know, kind of being more Gen X-y of nature, where we were kind of free-range children, I feel like we were like, okay, our kids are not going to be free-range children. And so mm-hmm. for this, I just feel like, it just, she resonated so true with us and all of our friends because we were like, okay, I love my parents and I got a lot of great things, but there are so many things that I'm not going to do that they did, which, you know, kind of the latchkey, just free range child situation. And then we ended up doing exactly what Jane did and gave up our lives, you know, in a sense to make sure our children love theirs.
Well, even to a certain point, your relationship with your spouse sometimes goes
absolutely
unnurtured because you're putting so much energy into your child, which is, I mean, it's what we do. Like our children are everything and we want them to be successful and feel loved and that's how we've gone about it.
And I felt like with Clark, he wasn't a huge part of the book. But the small interactions that they did have, it was so apparent that he had been pushed to the wayside.
Yeah. And so I didn't want him to be just a bad guy. I mean, I wanted him out of the way, but And that was part of, I think somebody had said to me, you know, the scene where she goes to meet his new girlfriend, and she said, and Jane gets in her car and he's in the reflected in the headlight. She's like, I would have just put it in drive and killed him. And I said, but no, but that part of her growth is she forgives him because she sees her role in the dissolution of this relationship. It's a two-way street.
If she would have driven over him at the in the airport parking lot, if she could have, but that was her then. And but by the end, you did see that.
Yeah.
Yes. And I, you know, she did go through the stages of grief with this relationship. So, back to your free range chicken. I was just, my daughter asked me, what did you used to do in the summer? And I mean, by the time I was her age, I was doing other things, but I said, most of the summer I would just get on my bike and I would go away. And I knew sort of I didn't wear a watch, what time lunch would be. I'd had to be back for lunch. And then after lunch, my mom would kick me out again. And she would say, come back when the sun sets.
Yes. That is how we were raised.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change it for the world, though.
Neither.
Well, in romance and women's fiction, we often see characters in their 20s and 30s striking out on their own. Why was it vital for you to tell a story about a woman in her mid-40s accepting a gap year style reinvention?
I think that more and more we're seeing older protagonists, but I think that there's a huge demographic that wants to read more relatable stories of women closer to their age. And for me, when I started writing this, I think I was probably around 47. And I initially started writing her in her 30s because I had been told nobody wants to read a story about a woman in her 40s. But I thought I'm not in that headspace anymore. I don't really know. And also I feel like midlife reinvention it's a thing nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I loved about this and romance for women old, you know, who've actually lived a life, and the romance can still happen for women in their 40s and 50s. And
absolutely.
I think that's really exciting. It's exciting because, you know, as a woman in her 50s and going from, you know, a 30-year marriage, and it is a reinvention. It is more of a reinvention than a woman in her 20s finding romance. There's so many aspects to romance that are exciting. And also, like, letting go of things from your past. I think that this type of romance is super fun, super exciting, and I love reading them.
Oh, it was refreshing.
Yes, really refreshing because, and especially because you had a mature character who was learning to go, oh, okay, I'm going to see things for what they actually are instead of for what I think they should be and how I can micromanage them and make them fit and work. It's like, oh, wait, no, I don't have to just make everything work. I can assess it for what it is and choose it or not choose it.
Yeah. I mean, life doesn't end when you're 50 and divorced. It starts all over again in an exciting way.
Better.
And, I mean, I just feel like, you know, people love that. It is not over. You're like, well, you might as well just like go lay in bed and never get up again.
Here's your cat collection.
Here's your cat collection. Go take care of cats now for the rest of your life.
But I do think that it's, you know, it's not only in literature, but you see it more and more in series and film. That I think that there is a huge appetite for these stories of, and I think if you look at the demographic of who's reading, I mean, I know there's a lot of younger women reading, particularly in the fantasy, romantasy sphere, but you know, there's also a huge demographic of women in their 40s, 50s, 60s reading, and maybe don't want to read about a 20 something year old or 30 something year old.
Sure.
I mean, I have to say, I really do appreciate that you gave us a more mature, and because, you know, like she's my age, you know, heroine, because, Yeah, when I read the cute, I love the cute little love stories that are the 20-year-olds and the brand new. I love those. They're adorable. But I'm sort of like half the time I'm just going, oh my gosh, you guys, like, don't know anything yet. Yeah, like, yeah. Okay, good luck with that. You know, let's wait to see what's actually going to, how things are going to play out in 20 years from now. Which is always like our joke in our podcast where we're like, okay, will they make it 25 years? Will they make it?
Yeah, it's true. I think, and infidelity.
Yeah.
This was, it was a heavy topic. And I feel like a lot of us have either experienced that personally by that age or had some someone very near and dear to us, whether it be in our friend group or our families. And it's really hard to go through, I think, from every angle. Everyone that's involved. And it's easy to become a victim when you are the recipient of a cheating spouse. But I felt like this book was very empowering. And I really, really appreciated that. How did you come up with that, like not making her a victim? I thought for a minute she was going to be, but you turned that corner.
Well, I think, like you said, I mean, we all know somebody or many people who have experienced this, and I have, I don't want to name names, not my husband, but have gone through this recently. And I think one thing, first of all, that is important to me, and so I wanted it to be important to Jane, is if there's a child involved, there's two parents no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And so to vilify her spouse, she didn't want to do that because she wanted Liza to still have a decent relationship with her father and with men in general. So I think that as far as being a victim, why I had her turn a corner is, as you said earlier, some introspection, you know, and also that's where the character of Mark came in. I think despite his flaws, he did have a lot of really good listening skills. And also he imparted some good advice to her, probably from his own experience, but she didn't know that. But that said, you know, I think it allowed her to figure out her role in this as well. And it's not that I wanted her to just blame herself, but I think it's important in order for her to have a healthy relationship moving forward. And it is something that she said she wanted to have, to know, okay, this didn't go right for whatever reason, whether this part was my fault, this part was his fault. I don't want to repeat that in my next relationship. And so I think that's why I had her turn that corner, was knowing that she was capable of having healthy relationships down the road, but really making sure that her daughter still had a healthy relationship with her father.
Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that you did that.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
And when Jane goes to the Galapagos, you know, that section feels like just a breath of fresh air after the tension of the volcano and the airport betrayal. From a harsh mountain climate to the vibrant wildlife of the islands, a conscious metaphor for Jane's internal state. What was that? You know, what was that shift, and how were you feeling about making her, you know, the tension to the, like the calm?
Well, I think that first of all, this is somewhere she'd always wanted to go. And I don't even know if she achieved that calm until she actually saw the island, you know, from the plane and then getting off the plane. And I did write this from my experience because I was a biology geek in high school and learned about the Galapagos Islands, I think in freshman biology, and had always wanted to go. And so the experience she has where she sees the manta rays, that I had that experience almost from the minute I stepped toe on my first island there. And I was actually in the dinghy driving up to the island, and I, you know, there's no way to feel anything but calm if you have the chance to go there. It's just such an incredible place. And her realization that all of this other background noise doesn't really matter? You know, all of these things that I've been placing emphasis on, this is what I've always wanted to do. This is where I've always wanted to come and be, and I need to figure out how I can spend more time here. And so I think that's where that calm came from, was that moment of, as Oprah says, the aha moment of, what have I been doing? You know, like, this is what I've been wanting to do. And I know that I had elements in my life that prohibited me from doing this, but now there's nothing standing in my way. So I think it was just that calm of knowing I am where I belong. So,
well, and I also liked how, you know, she had this moment of calm. She had this beautiful experience on the island. And then she received, you know, the terrible news about Mark, kind of right on the heels of this most incredible experience that she's ever had. And I love that you taught her how to separate the experiences from each other. Like, okay, you know what? The Mark situation was crappy, but that doesn't take away from the island experience. You know, that, and so you just really, I love how you taught us through her how to break things apart and see, like, okay, dad was horrible to me with this relationship falling apart, but he still is a father to my daughter. And you just, you sort of taught us how to compartmentalize it. But when you were writing the book, just when it comes to Mark, did you know that he was going to have this massive secret from the very get-go when he was holding her head when she was puking? Did you know that's where it was going to end up? Or did that just kind of like come to you when you realized, oh, wait a second, I need her to understand that the Galapagos experience was because she came into herself and that had nothing to do with the guy?
I think that the latter, I wanted that experience to have nothing to do with the guy. And then I will be completely honest, I had a couple beta readers and I had an old version, and everyone across the board said, we like Alan.
Yeah. So, yes.
To figure out a way to get rid of Mark. For his purpose, but I had to get rid of him. So that was another aspect. But I really didn't
want Alan too, so I'm glad you got rid of Mark.
I didn't want her experience though to be about a guy. I know that I mean for me it was important for her to have that second chance at love, because I wanted her to prove to herself that she can love again, that she was married for a long time. She was probably with Clark longer than the 20 years, but she still had, you know, that opportunity, that 46 or 50 or whatever age, it's not too late. I mean, that's the whole theme of the whole book, is it's never too late. So I wanted her to know I can do this, but not necessarily with Mark.
I love that she had that experience with Mark, because, I mean, once again, how realistic is it that you get out of a 30-year, you know, marriage and jump right into this amazing relationship with another man? You know, I think they're...
That will clean puke off of your face.
Yes. You know, but he doesn't even know you.
Right. So, I mean, I think that, you know, most women experience another heartbreak, which is heartbreaking after your other heartbreak. But it happens, and it's still okay to move on. And there's still other adventures and life after the second, third heartbreak.
Well, and I also liked how in this process, you were teaching her she can trust her instincts again, because her initial feelings about Mark were like, oh, he's a player. He's a player. He's got this stuff going on and stuff, you know, and that's fine. It can be what it is. But, you know, she tucked that away and stuff. And then you got her to a point as a character where she's all like, no, I'm going to actually trust myself. And I just loved how you did it in all these little finite moments where you showed us how she made that decision then, and now she's making this decision here. And there was, you can see why she learned from this experience. You just did everything made sense. It wasn't like you had someone who there was no Scooby-Doo magical moments where, you know, it was like, oh, there was a cause, there was the growth reason, there was the resolution. And it just all worked so well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, after reading this book, it's inspiring. And, you know, it made me want to go take an adventure.
Uh-huh.
What piece of advice would you give any woman who, is inspired to take that leap and go on an adventure, a gap year, whatever? What advice do you give women, you know, that are in that space before they do it?
I think that my advice, and I hope I take my advice, is, and I think I have been. I mean, for me, writing was something that I put off for years because I was afraid of rejection. I was intimidated. I mean, there were so many reasons why I just didn't commit to it. And I got to a certain point where I thought, what do I have to lose? Nothing. I have nothing to lose and I have everything to gain. And I enjoy the process regardless of the outcome. I mean, yes, it has been so gratifying for people like yourselves to read the book and enjoy it and want to talk about it. But I love that. But I truly love sitting down and writing. That said, when anyone, and I have had other women approach me who've read the book and say, gosh, I wish I could do this, that, or the other. And I say, what's stopping you? Maybe it's not shooting off to Ecuador for a year if you're not in that position today, but maybe there's a baby step. Maybe there's some other, like when I turned 50, I said to my husband, I said, oh, I figured out what I'm going to do for my 50th birthday. It was something I'd always wanted to do. And he said, what? And I said, it's a little maybe cheesy, but I want to do some sort of a spiritual retreat in Sedona. And he said, oh, when do we go? And I said, Aww. Oh no, I'm going by myself and you're going to with the kids and our dog. And so I can do that. He said, oh, how long are you going for? And I said, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll let you know. But my point is that was like my mini gap year. And I hope that down the road, as I'm able to do other things, but I tell people, if there's something that you want to do, find some smaller element of it, if the big picture scares you, and start doing it, because there will come a day in your life where you just can't. And I hope that day is far, far away. But I always tell people, I think regret is probably I work with elderly patients. I'm a physical therapist. And the one thing that I constantly hear is, I wish I could still do this. And I said, I don't want to get to that point in my life. I wish I could still. I want to say, oh, I did this and it was amazing. So just start doing some aspect of it till you get to that point where you can go take your gap year or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think that's such good advice, because sometimes it's so intimidating when you're thinking of something big, you just never do it. So doing little things, baby steps, then, you know, you can succeed in one little thing. Therefore, why can't you succeed in the big thing?
That's why I started with essays, because an essay wasn't a huge commitment, but it started to get my feet wet. And then when I started to get some traction with the essays, I thought, okay, I'm getting better at this. Let's try something a little longer form. And so it was just little by little. And I think that's all you can do is little by little, because we're all so busy. Everyone's busy. We have so many different parts of our lives that are moving all at once. And so you can't necessarily fit the big thing in right now, but there's little things you can do.
Yeah.
You start making a place for it in our lives for the future.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do what you love.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, where can listeners go to follow your writing journey or find out what's coming after the gap year? Because you've already said that you're starting to work on another one.
Yes. I have another one finished. I'm waiting for edits. And then I did start a new one. I have a website. It's lindseygoldsteinauthor.com. So that's fairly up to date right now. I should take a look at it. But I also am on mostly on Instagram and Threads, I would say, at Goldstein Lindsay. I do have a Substack. I will admit I've not been as good about my newsletters recently, but I plan to get better. But it's lindseygoldstein.substack.com. So you can follow me there. I would say that those are the primary places to find me.
Okay. Well, cool. And we'll definitely post links to your website and Substack if our listeners want to kind of peruse there in our show notes. We like to do that for sure. So yeah, I'm so excited for you and your writing journey as well. And yeah, thank you so much for
you all three of you. You've had such great questions and I've enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah. And I absolutely, my take home from your book.
Yes.
Is so important to love yourself, to own yourself, and to seize the day, really. Like, loved that your character had such a beautiful journey.
And I think that, you know, forgiveness releases you to then enjoy and experience the rest of your life. So, you know, and that goes in so many ways, but she forgives and then is able to move on have a beautiful
life.
And
she forgives herself too, well as your past doesn't have to determine your future.
No.
And it's true. I think if you hold on to all that negativity, it just holds you back. So I agree 100%.
Yeah, it was really well done.
Thank you.
So the gap year is officially going on our personal all-time favorites because it resonated with all of us so personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So very personal. So much, yes.
Really nice to hear.
Yeah, if you are a fan of the classic starting over in a new country kind of trope, we invite you to join in and, you know, get on board with this, especially if you want a protagonist with actual life experiences. And you did such a good job of expressing that and, you know, really putting you in the moment. So this book is an absolute holy grail. So I recommend it.
Yeah. And if you want to keep up with Lindsay Goldstein's writing journey or find out what's coming up after the gap year, scroll down and we will post links in our show notes.
Yeah. And then, I like to let our listeners know what we're doing. We're coming up with. We're going to review The Drama with Robert Pattinson and Zendaya. And we're going to be doing Woman Down by Colleen Hoover and interviewing Lionel Moses as well. He wrote The Marriage Seat and he's going to tell us about his personal journey. So kind of excited about that. So hit follow and rate and review because we want feedback.
Until then, keep believing in the perfect version of your own romance. I'm Valerie.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this has been My Perfect Romance.
All right. Happy romancing, everybody.
XOXO.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lindsay.
I'm going to hit the stop button. Thanks.